From State College to Uniontown, Somerset to Saxonburg, this is Lincoln Radio Journal. On this edition, lawsuits and allegations of voter fraud continue to mar the 2020 presidential election. But most of the other races in Pennsylvania have been decided. David Taylor is here to host a Capitol Watch look at the election results. And Republicans took 2 out of 3 statewide offices and increased their majorities in the state legislature. I'll have a town hall commentary on how Governor Tom Wolf led his party to defeat. I'm Loman Henry, and welcome to Lincoln Radio Journal. We'll get to our Capitol Watch crew in just a couple of minutes, but first, news headlines from patownhall.com. Lawmakers returned to Harrisburg this past week for a rare post-election or sine-die session with substantial business to conduct. That's because last June, with uncertain revenue and many unanswered questions surrounding the COVID-19 pandemic, the legislature passed only a partial 2020-2021 state budget, which expires at the end of this month. Now an agreement must be reached with Governor Tom Wolf on a spending plan for the remaining 7 months of the fiscal year. The task is complicated by an estimated budget deficit in excess of $5 billion. The current session of the legislature expires on November 30th, so if a budget agreement is not reached by then, the task will remain on hold until the new General Assembly takes office in January. Republicans will hold an even larger majority in the state House of Representatives come January and already have decided key leadership posts. State Representative Brian Cutler of Lancaster County was again nominated for Speaker of the House by the Republican caucus. He succeeded former Speaker Mike Terzai, who resigned earlier this year to take a job in the private sector. Kerry Benninghoff of Center County will again be majority leader in the new session. Democrats, however, have some sorting out to do. Their leader, Frank Dermody, was defeated in his bid for re-election. Thus, Democratic lawmakers must select a new minority leader. Read about all things Pennsylvania at patownhall.com. Pennsylvania has been at the epicenter of the political universe throughout the 2020 election. The actions of Governor Tom Wolf and the Pennsylvania Supreme Court have added to the confusion. Our Capitol Watch crew is here to sort through all of the fallout and to provide analysis of the election results. David Taylor from the Pennsylvania Manufacturers Association is joined by Rebecca Euler from the National Federation of Independent Business and by Matthew Briette from Commonwealth Partners Chamber of Entrepreneurs. David?
And welcome once again to Capitol Watch, where we keep an eye on what's happening under the Capitol Dome in Harrisburg for you. I'm your host, David Taylor, President and CEO of the Pennsylvania Manufacturers Association. On this post-election review issue of Capitol Watch, you've got your Capitol Watch All-Stars, Rebecca Euler, Legislative Director for the National Federation of Independent Business. Rebecca, thanks for being on the show.
Happy to be here again, David. Thank you.
And Matt Briette, CEO of Commonwealth Partners Chamber of Entrepreneurs. Matt, thanks for being here.
Hey, good to be with you both.
Well, we live to see the other side of it, mostly. And so looking back, I mean, I'm thinking about the last moments of the previous program where we made predictions and that we were asked who would win the presidential race in Pennsylvania. And I said that I thought that Donald Trump was closing the gap. There had been polls that he was down by 5 or 7 or 10 points, and I said that I thought it was a lot closer, and I thought that since he had momentum that he would wind up over the top. Close, but apparently not quite, with over 6,600,000 votes between them. It looks like Joe Biden is about 45,000 votes ahead of Donald Trump, and if that holds, then Pennsylvania's electoral votes will go to the former vice president.
Well, what's interesting in that, David, is that this election may have been decided back in August by the Pennsylvania Supreme Court. And I know, Rebecca and David, you probably remember this, but many of our listeners probably do not. But there was a court ruling by the Pennsylvania Supreme Court overturning a lower court ruling that allowed the Green Party candidate to be on the ballot. Well, the Supreme Court reversed that lower court and knocked the Green Party candidate off of the ballot. Well, what does that mean? Well, when you go back and look in 2016, the Green Party candidate got almost 50,000 votes. So that's more than the margin that it looks like Joe Biden's going to win Pennsylvania. And certainly when you look down the ballot in 2020 here and look at the statewide row offices, the Green Party candidate got between 65 and 75,000 votes. So you can hand the victory over to the Pennsylvania Supreme Court for knocking the Green Party candidate off of the ballot and not giving some of those folks who might have otherwise voted for the Green Party no option. The Libertarian Party candidate got, I think, over 150,000 votes. So a significant number of votes that, well, with the Supreme Court knocking the Green Party out, I think you can hand this victory to them as much as Joe Biden.
Well, that surprisingly was the best thing that happened for Democrats in Pennsylvania on Election Day. That legendary blue wave that we were told was coming our way most definitely did not appear. And in fact, things broke pretty strongly in the opposite direction.
Well, not only did the blue wave not hit, but it did hit a big red wall. And I think that that was the case, not only in Pennsylvania, but all across the country, that despite the outspending by Democrats and their special interest groups from trial lawyers and unions, they got smoked. Barack Obama's National Democratic Redistricting Commission, they targeted 9 states and 14 different chambers. So they were trying to flip from Republican to Democrat, House and Senate, and even targeted some gubernatorial races. By our count, they were 0 for 14. I mean, they utterly failed down ballot. So while they won the presidency, they failed to flip any state legislature. And in fact, the only legislature that flipped was New Hampshire. And it was Republicans taking the House and the Senate back from the Democrats. So down ballot, Democrats have absolutely nothing to be celebratory about. The only thing that they can celebrate is a very, very narrow margin of victory for Joe Biden.
Yeah, Dave, you mentioned that we had called on the last show that the gap was going to narrow. That is absolutely what happened, because I think another big loser that we need to call out in this is the pollsters, because they had Biden up about 7 or 8 points, if I remember correctly, going into the election. And we both basically are ending here in a 50-50 split. And they also had the chances of flipping the state House Democrat as a toss-up. And now we know that the state House actually has trended now Republican. They're going to pick up Republican seats, at least 3 or 4 seats, with a net pickup of at least 3. So it's kind of amazing how wrong they were. I think we need to point that out, too, because we did call that gap was going to close, and it closed in so many ways.
And we'll want to talk in a little bit about the state legislative chambers in Harrisburg. But first, let's go to the statewide row offices. And the race for attorney general that the incumbent attorney general, Josh Shapiro, did prevail in his race. I think he had probably the widest margin of victory of any of the statewide office holders. But of course, he spent a very large amount of money in the course of doing that. And now it's expected that Attorney General Shapiro will pivot to a race for higher office, whether that's U.S. Senate from Pennsylvania or governor of Pennsylvania. But the real shocker is what happened in the other races, that in the race for Auditor General, which was an open seat, that Republican Tim DeFore of Dauphin County won really quite handily. And in the race for State Treasurer, that incumbent State Treasurer Joe Torsella was defeated by Bradford County businesswoman Stacy Garrity. And Matt, maybe you can lead us through a better understanding that the having office holders from the opposite party in these key seats is going to make it much more difficult for Governor Tom Wolf to engage in a lot of his financial monkey business.
Yeah, in fact, it has required the approval of both the treasurer and the auditor general in the past for them to be floating a number of these loans and borrowing of monies when they couldn't get the budget done. Tom Wolf is going to have a much more difficult time to keep the money flowing in a way that allows him to advance his liberal policy agenda, his progressive policy agenda. It is noteworthy that this is the first time since 1961 that Republicans have held both the treasurer and the auditor general position. In fact, the auditor general had not been won by a Republican since 1992. So we've had decades of Democrat dominance of the state's fiscal watchdog. It's always been held by somebody who is aspiring to another office. We knew that with Eugene D. Pasquale, who ended up running for Congress. And before him, Jack Wagner, who had run for governor. This has always been an aspiring position, a stepping stone. But with Tim DeFore, you have somebody who was made for this position. He spent decades as an auditor, as an inspector general, as someone that has ferreted out fraud, waste, and abuse, as we hear that that term. And Tim did it in a way, for full disclosure, we at Commonwealth Partners and our political action committees invested over $1.3 million to help Tim, because we need a real fiscal watchdog over Governor Wolf and over all of the government agencies, from our school districts to the Liquor Control Board to the Turnpike Commission. You name it, we haven't had adequate oversight. So we're very pleased to congratulate Tim DeFore on his victory. But you know what? The biggest surprise, David, is the treasurer race, because Stacey Garrity, also a veteran as well as a businesswoman, spent just a bit over $200,000. Joe Torsella, the incumbent treasurer, I believe spent over $2 million. Nobody knew Joe. And there's one thing that is certain, that we've seen this in year after year, is that if you are a woman and you're on the ballot, you somehow gain multiple percentage points. We saw this in 2017 when Mary Murray, running for Superior Court, I believe it was, I know it was a statewide judicial office, was not endorsed by the party. The Bar Association, I don't believe, endorsed her. She spent, I think, about $200,000, while other competitors spent millions, and she still won. It was actually an all-female slate for judicial candidates in 2017. So I don't know if that's what benefited Stacey Garrity, but I'm sure it did not hurt in that race, that nobody knew who Joe was, and they were willing to go with the Republican for treasurer.
You're listening to Capital Watch. I'm David Taylor from Pennsylvania Manufacturers. With me, Rebecca Euler from NFIB Pennsylvania and Matt Briette from Commonwealth Partners. So with the Republican victories in treasurer and auditor general, this is going to be looking like a pretty uncomfortable final 2 years in office for Governor Tom Wolf. Even more uncomfortable that despite millions of dollars spent by the governor and his allies, that was not able to wrest control of either body away from the GOP. And in fact, in both instances, that the Republican majorities come back larger than last time around. Rebecca, walk us through some of that.
As I mentioned earlier, it's pretty amazing, because the Democrats at the national level had targeted a lot of state legislatures. And one of them that they had targeted to flip was the state house here in Harrisburg. And like I said, it looks like Republicans actually flipped up to four seats, two in the east and two in the west. So the most important of which was House Democratic Leader Frank Dermody's seat in the 33rd District, which is Allegheny and Westmoreland counties. That was carried by Republican Kerry Del Rosso. So that is a significant victory for Republicans, along with the 55th District, which was lost by incumbent Joe Petrarca. That was picked up by Republican Jason Silvis. That district is out in Armstrong, Indiana, and Westmoreland. As we're talking right now, that seat has not been called, but it's looking pretty solid for the Republicans. Those two districts are sort of continuing this trend of the Southeast sort of becoming more and more red. But the Republicans also picked up seats in Schuylkill County, where there was a retirement that was picked up by Republicans, and also in Bucks County, where the incumbent Representative Wendy Ullman lost to Shelby Labs. So it wasn't just the Southeast where we saw the Republicans pick up seats, although they did lose one in the Southeast, and that was Representative Tom Mertz's former seat, where the Democrat picked that up.
You also have on the in the state Senate that Republicans lost a seat in Delaware County that was had been held by Senator Tom Killian, but they picked up two in Allegheny County, or at least they've picked up one for sure, that incumbent Pam Iovino was defeated by challenger Devlin Robinson. And in the other race, that State Senator Jim Brewster is running behind challenger Nicole Ziccarelli. And that the Brewster seat is part of the same political landscape with Leader Dermody's seat. In my opinion, this is all about Governor Tom Wolf and his effort to impose a carbon tax on Pennsylvania's power sector, the so-called Regional Greenhouse Gas Initiative, which has unified business and the industrial unions and skilled trades against the governor and his plan to wipe out these power plants. And so you had several of the industrial unions endorse the challenger to Leader Dermody, that the hard hat guys thought that Dermody was not doing right by them, was not fighting for them, sticking up for their side. And so this accelerates this trend that we're seeing where the industrial workers and the skilled tradesmen are finding common cause with the Republican Party and the business community. It's a very interesting trend.
I think that's absolutely true. And I think it's worth pointing out that the senator and the representative from Indiana County who sponsored the bills that would require the General Assembly to approve that carbon cap and trade program, Senator Pittman and Representative Struzzi, both won handily, very well.
Well, this this really shows that while voters rejected President Trump's style, they absolutely repudiated the Democrats' substance, whether it was the lockdowns that Governor Wolf imposed, unnecessarily destroying people's livelihoods, putting people out of work, the messaging of defunding the police, a progressive socialist agenda. And I know this because in all of the races in which we were engaged, nearly a dozen and a half, that's what helped persuade people to vote Republican. You had absolutely no coattails from Joe Biden running down ballot into all of these state races.
I think that's absolutely true. And I was kind of curious about that coattails, the fact that you mentioned that, because it's clear, I think, that a lot of folks split their ballots to vote against Trump in some cases, but for Republicans in the down ballot races. Because I looked at the difference between president and, for instance, Auditor General, which had the highest turnout, I think, of the row offices. And the difference was only 159,000 votes. So that is not a significant undervote for the lower offices. So in other words, people didn't show up and just vote for president. They made a conscious choice to vote one way for president and in some cases another way for the state offices.
Yeah, it's also notable that in the race for Congress that all of the incumbents won, that while there were significant challenges in, I guess, four or five races, that in the end that the incumbents hung in there. And again, the prediction going into the cycle was that the Democrats would make great gains and that Nancy Pelosi would strengthen her majority in the U.S. House. Well, nationwide, the opposite happened. That nationally, congressional Republicans are going to add quite a number of seats. It's still outstanding, but probably 10. And that, and as a result, that Speaker Pelosi is going to be operating with a very, very narrow majority. It's gonna make it difficult for her to function. And I guess this is the bottom line, that not only did the blue wave not come, but because of the correlation of forces with the Republicans holding the U.S. Senate and Speaker Pelosi having a much smaller majority in the House, that the most radical of the progressive agenda items are just total non-starters. They're off the table for now.
Well, this could be a very much a Pyrrhic victory for the Democrats because the long-term impact of this election will be felt when it comes to redistricting, where Republicans hold the upper hand in every state that they already had it. And obviously strengthened it in New Hampshire. And what that means is for the next five elections, for the next decade, the congressional and legislative district lines will be drawn by a majority of Republicans, House and Senate across the country. And then certainly when it comes to the midterm elections of 2022, you have to give the advantage to the Republicans because the midterm elections for the incumbent president's party usually do not go very well, as Donald Trump experienced in 2018 and certainly Barack Obama in 2010 and 2014. So this may be a celebratory day for Democrats and Joe Biden, but I think their tomorrows are not looking very bright.
I think you're right about that. Well, Matt, Rebecca, I know that we're down to the last few seconds here of the program. Thanks for being with us, and thanks for your insights. Matt, where can people go to learn more about you and Commonwealth Partners and the work that you're doing?
Yeah, go to thecommonwealthpartners.com or find us on Facebook at facebook.com/Commonwealth Partners.
Rebecca, where can people track you down?
They can find NFIB Pennsylvania at www.nfib.com/PA. or on Facebook or Twitter.
Standing. And as ever, you can find me online at pamanufacturers.org and on the Pennsylvania Cable Network on Sunday mornings at 8:30 with PMA Perspective. For Matt, Rebecca, and me, thanks very much for listening, and we'll catch you next time on Capital Watch. And now, a town hall commentary from Loman Henry.
Thank you, David. There were many winners and losers on the ballot election day. But the name of the biggest loser didn't appear on the ballot, Governor Tom Wolf. Wolf, along with National Democrats, invested tens of millions of dollars in a futile attempt to flip control of the Pennsylvania General Assembly, only to see the GOP actually tighten its hold on both chambers. The stakes were high. Republicans have held majorities in both the state Senate and House for the first 6 years of Wolf's governorship, and will now do so during the last two. While the governor will continue to work his will via executive orders, any chances for enactment of his legislative agenda have vanished. More importantly, the GOP will have the biggest say in the redrawing of congressional district lines. Republican senatorial and legislative candidates were outspent 4-1 as money from a wide array of national left-wing groups poured into Penns Woods in an attempt to gain control of the redistricting process. Democrats had good reason to be optimistic about their chances. In 2018, a blue wave crashed over the Philadelphia suburbs, substantially reducing Republican majorities in both chambers. Polls, wildly inaccurate again this cycle, presaged a strong Democrat vote statewide. Chances for flipping control of the state Senate, though, had already dimmed after State Senator John Utichak of Luzerne County left the Democrat Party to become an independent and caucus with Republicans, giving the GOP a 29-21 margin. Democrats had high hopes of ousting at least four Republican incumbents. Instead, the only GOP loss came in Delaware County, where State Senator Tom Killian came up short in his reelection bid. Republicans offset that loss as Devlin Robinson ousted State Senator Pam Iovino in Allegheny County. Another Allegheny County seat, that of longtime incumbent Democrat Jim Brewster, also appears poised to fall into Republican hands. Tom Wolf and his national allies poured millions into state House races, with spending topping $1 million in some districts. The expected blue wave turned red, as the GOP has garnered a net pickup of at least four seats, including the ousting of House Democratic leader Frank Dermody of Allegheny County. Although Joe Biden has scored a contested win in his bid for Pennsylvania's 20 electoral votes, Democrats lost 2 of 3 statewide constitutional or row offices. Incumbent state treasurer Joe Torsella lost in an upset to Republican Stacey Garrity, while Tim DeFore became the first person of color to win a statewide office as he was elected Auditor General. It is the first time since 1956 Republicans will hold both of those offices simultaneously. Democrats had high hopes of flipping at least one congressional seat in Pennsylvania, concentrating their efforts on mid-state Congressman Scott Perry, the seat having been touted as one of the 5 most vulnerable in the nation. In the end, Perry soundly defeated outgoing State Auditor General Eugene DePasquale, keeping the seat in GOP hands. So why the Democratic carnage? Credit must be given to President Donald Trump, whose campaign made Pennsylvania a top target, in the process dramatically increasing the turnout among Republican voters. Trump's messaging painted Democrats as radical leftists out to reshape America into a socialist nation, clearly motivated Republican-based voters. Do not, however, underestimate the voter backlash against Governor Tom Wolf and his draconian, inconsistent, and inept policies in dealing with the COVID-19 pandemic. Voters who have been told to abide by the governor's orders to stem the spread of COVID-19 went to the polls as cases of the virus spiked. Business closures and unemployment have run rampant throughout the Commonwealth this year due to the governor's policies. And by Election Day, those policies appeared to have had no impact on the pandemic. Wolf has refused to work together with the Republican-controlled legislature, which repeatedly passed legislation aimed at easing the worst of the governor's draconian policies, only to see those bills vetoed. Legislative Democrats voted in virtual lockstep with the governor. Even when a few went astray, they returned to the fold when override votes were taken, allowing Wolf to consistently prevail. Voters in swing districts clearly saw what was happening. On Election Day, they rewarded the Republicans who stood with them with new terms while turning Democrats out of office. And so, Tom Wolf set the stage for an embarrassing defeat, squandering millions in campaign cash and ending Democratic hopes of controlling congressional redistricting in Pennsylvania. Voters, as they usually do, had the final say, and it was a resounding vote of no confidence in the governor and his legislative allies. With a Town Hall commentary, I'm Loman Henry. If you miss hearing Lincoln Radio Journal on your favorite radio station, audio of our complete program is available on our websites, LincolnRadioJournal.com and LincolnInstitute.org. For 25 years, Lincoln Radio Journal has been heard on public affairs-minded radio stations throughout the Commonwealth, including WCNS-AM in La Trobe, WWSM-AM in Lebanon, along with WJSM-FM in Martinsburg, Pennsylvania. The Lincoln Radio Journal is produced weekly by the Lincoln Institute of Public Opinion Research, Incorporated. The Lincoln Institute is completely funded through the generosity of individuals, corporations, and philanthropic foundations, including the Pennsylvania Manufacturers Association, the Allegheny Foundation of Pittsburgh, and the Houston Foundation of Coatesville, all of whom have helped underwrite the cost of this program. Lincoln Radio Journal is a trademark of the Lincoln Institute of Public Opinion Research, Incorporated. Comments and opinions expressed on this program are those of the guests and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Lincoln Institute or of this radio station. From the Lincoln Broadcast Center in Harrisburg, I'm Loman Henry. Thank you for listening to Pennsylvania's most widely broadcast public affairs radio program, Lincoln Radio Journal. Plug into the pulse of Pennsylvania.